You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
the Bard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
I know you want to do and mimic what you came out of, but we're not doing that at a Truth Reveal. We don't have U.S. Marshals at the door. Ain't nobody handcuffing no one. You got to welcome everybody in the house and never become a door blocker. Ain't nobody folding their arms standing at the door. You're not going to intimidate anybody. Ain't nobody not speaking to nobody when you're coming at the door. I want the doors to be wide open. Can somebody make some noise?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Make Some Noise in the House. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 2, verse 1.
This is why people don't understand ministry. They think longevity is all about how long you've been in the church. But when Jesus is selecting leaders, he's looking at people who understand like how things work, economics work, and then bring them into the house of God to function in a certain way. But if you're not careful, you will become like a Pharisee or sad, you see. And anybody new, you got a problem with it. You got your hand on your hip and you're trying to kill influence. And you don't even understand you're blocking the move of God. That's why we all constantly have to be able to take in new people and assimilate them and take new people in and assimilate them and then to employ them and deploy them to do works of kingdom. Jesus is strategic. He doesn't take anybody from Nazareth. He doesn't take anybody from Nazareth and make them a part of his team. This is the pastors who want to make sure that their family is set. You got to watch that when you're building ministry now. You want to take care of family, but you can't just look. This is a family clan. Because the house has to be built with spiritual stones, not just biological stones. Every biological stone has the potential to be a prodigal. Those of you that don't see it, you're going to miss God. Every one of your biological children can walk up to your face and tell you, I'm out of here. Give me mine so I don't see you no more. And if all you see is biological, you're going to miss God. When you get with Jesus, you got to open it up. Take care of biological, but the kingdom is not built with biological alone. You have to qualify it with spiritual stones. And one of the things that always rests on a spiritual stone is rejection. You have to deal with rejection well. If you don't, you'll never qualify as a spiritual one. And a lot of pastors try to protect the biological from feeling rejection. But you can't become spiritual until you're able to deal with rejection. Oh my God. That's why you got to let God be God and not try to protect every little issue that goes on. Sometimes you just got to let God work it out. So even the biological can go through that vice called rejection. Glory to God. Jesus went through it, and must he bear his cross alone and all of the biological go free? No, there's a cross to every one of us, and there's a cross for me. Thank you, Lord. And when you're rejected, you never try to reject anybody else. If you ever, this is what we need. If you ever go through rejection and you can rest in the house of God and reject other people, I'm telling you, you're not really with Jesus. Because if you've gone through the vice, you know what it feels like for people to walk past you and not speak. Or hug others tight, right in front of you, and reject you. Now, if you've never went through that, you may not be a spiritual stone. Because all spiritual go through it. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be his name. Glory to God. That's why he chooses Matthew or Levi to mess everybody up. Because he was rejected by the whole city. Yet Jesus went to his house. Although he went to Capernaum, and this is a sad thing, yet many in Capernaum didn't follow him, only the ones that I'm selecting. This is why I'm here to tell you he did many miracles there, right? In Nazareth and Capernaum, and it's his headquarters, but many still couldn't see the value. He actually prophesies against Capernaum. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 23 and 24, they'll have it on the screen in a moment. And I want you to read it with me. That's verse 23 and 24. Can we put it up? Matthew chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. Can you read it with me? One, two, ready, read. And thou, Capernaum, look at verse 24, 1, 2, ready, read. But I say unto you, we got to read it together. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than Jesus cursed Capernaum. Because there are things you should know. I made you my headquarters. There are things you should know, and you still children in it. There are things you should know. You say you headquarters, but there are things you should know. You've been taught the way. You saw me operate. You saw me launch. You were there. And you still struggle with relationships. Oh, my God. Look at the word. It's powerful. You're exalted to heaven because I made you headquarters. But you shall be brought to hell. This is Jesus. This ain't no prophet. This is Jesus. For the mighty works, you saw it. You saw mighty works operate, which have been done in thee. That means in the city limits. If it was done in Sodom, Sodom wouldn't have been destroyed. You worried about the Sodomite, but they didn't see what you see. Oh my God. They never got the revelation that you got. You see it every week. God moving, changing, shifting, and it won't shift your attitude. You still hold on to your own ways. You'll rather be right than the reconciled. And if Sodom saw miracles, if Sodom saw Peter's mother rise, if Sodom looked at Peter, James, John, and Andrew and watched them come out of their boat, if Sodom saw all of the miracles that worked, if Sodom saw the unclean spirit come out of a man and give homage, they would have changed, but you will sit there and watch it and still stay proud. You're in a church where truth is revealed and you won't move. Oh my God. You watch God move by his spirit and power and still stand in religion. Jesus had to rebuke Capernaum because I made you my headquarters and launched systems from you and you still got your ways. Glory to God. This is why we need to look at this text and Mark records it. We got to look at it, man. He made Capernaum headquarters, but don't think because you're the headquarters, judgment can't come. Glory to God. To every ministry that think the head is best, because we got the head. You got to watch what you do when you're the head. Oh, my God. We got to treat people right. We got to love everybody, trust only a few, and do harm to none. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not mad, but I had to show you. Because everybody want to shout, but Mark don't let you shout too long. You better get your mind right with your religious self. But won't speak to me. Speaking in tongues, but won't speak to me. Oh my God, I don't care about all that. I've been through these systems and these fads in the church. Glory to God. Glory to God. We need to love everybody. Trust only a few. Do harm to none. So in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus heals a paralyzed man in Capernaum. Look at it. Verse 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. He entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. It was noise that he was in the house. This word house in the original language is a place of dwelling. Somebody lived there. He didn't go to the synagogue. He went to a house. Jesus is trying to get into homes. So yes, we come to church together, but he's trying to go home with you. I said he's trying to go home with you. You got elephants and you got donkeys on the shelf, but he's trying to come home with you. You got your favorite your favorite sorority and your favorite stuff on your shelves, but where is Jesus? Is his table there? I'm writing a book called The Comforter. Is his table there? Is his bed there? Is his lamp staying in your house? Glory to God. If you want to attract the presence of God, put his furniture in your house. And you'll find him walking through the doors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when Moses built the tabernacle, he gave him instruction on how to build every vessel that's in the house. Glory to God. And when he finished the work, the scripture says the glory descended on the house. And if you ever want God to come to your house, he's got to see something that's familiar. He's got to see something that's familiar to him in your house. Can't be no idols in the house and attitude in the house and asses in the house. Stink donkeys in the house. We got to get Jesus in the house. Harry, stink donkeys. They can't go to worship. When God spoke to Adam, to Abraham, to go to Mount Moriah and offer him, he told him to leave the donkey at the base. Read it in the text. It said, leave asses at the base of the mountain. In other words, this animal can't go up to worship. And your attitude can't go to worship. You got to leave it at the base. It's hairy and stinks. Glory to God. All of this attitude's got to stay at the base if you want to climb the mountain and get with God. And God will come to the place where he sees his own furniture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Y'all ready for this? Okay. All right. Okay. My wife looking at me saying, Bishop, man, please. What's wrong with him this morning? Say fire. Come on, make some noise. It's gonna be all right. It'll be all over in the morning. Ooh, I wish I could sing, but I would hit it right now. It'll be all over in the morning. This is powerful, man. He came to Capernaum and they made noise in the city, and he was in a house or in a home. Home is also indicative of hearts. So you can have Jesus in your church but not have him in your heart. He's got to go home with you. He's got to go home. He's got to live in your house. Look at verse 2. And straightway, say straightway. That means almost immediately when they heard he was in the house and in the heart, many, scripture says, were gathered together. That word many means multitudes. So, in other words, if he's in your house, your neighbors need to know it. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody should know Jesus in a community and the neighbors don't know it. Because when he came to this house, the scripture is clear. It says many were gathered because they heard the noise. They were gathered together. The word is clear. They gathered together. In other words, there wasn't dissension. There was such so much of an excitement of his presence that it quelled or trumped any dissension in the neighborhood. And God can be so real in your heart and in your house that it quells dissension. So God can arise and discontentment will shrink. Glory to God. I want you to get this. God can rise and ascend like the phoenix in your heart, so much so that discontentment has to diminish. Because the scripture said they gathered together. They gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. That means there's a press. They're shoulder to shoulder in his house. Look at the word. No, not so much as about the door. So they're so connected and so beamed in on him while he's in a house, there's no room to maneuver. And if there is a stuck in our church, it should be because we're all gleaning or looking toward him and we're enthralled with his presence. And I believe you're going to see that happen in our church, like multitudes are coming. Multitudes are coming. Multitudes are coming. Multitudes are coming because the presence is here. Notice when they got there, he wasn't talking politics. The scripture says he preached what? Y'all not saying it. You got to make noise. He preached what? He preached the word. He preached the word. He preached the word. Not a man or a system. He preached the word. Because there's power in the word. He preached the word unto them. And they came unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. In other words, here's that corporate faith now. I don't know if y'all remember, but I preached that earlier this year, that we have corporate faith. In other words, four men took a lame man to Jesus. He can't walk, but they're so moved by him being in the house that they take him to the roof. They take his bed through. I don't know how they balanced it. I don't know if they built an infrastructure. I don't know if they built scaffolding. I don't know how they did it. But they found a way. Glory to God. See, when the presence is in the heart and in the house, we'll find a way to get things done. Nobody says it just can't be done. And we're just going to stay at the base because there's too many people there. We will find a way if the presence is here. And the scripture is clear. The four men take the man sick of the palsy. They balance out his weight. They balance out his weight. We can't get through the door. It's blocked. And I want to speak right now to the door blockers. You see somebody that can't walk, but you're too stuck on yourself to move. You see somebody in the midst and they lame in their feet, but you're too stuck on yourself to move and shift your attitude, too offended. And you're blocking the entrance, which makes people have to find another way. The scripture says there's only one way to God and it's the door. But are you a door blocker? Do you have your favorites? When they come through the door, they get all of your love. But when others come to the... You got to watch that. It ain't godly. And I need to preach it because what's about to happen in America, we can't have no door blockers. Glory to God. We can't have U.S. Marshals. That's why no usher can stand at the door with white gloves on. I know you want to do and mimic what you came out of, but we're not doing that at a Truth Reveal. We don't have U.S. Marshals at the door. Ain't nobody handcuffing no one. You got to welcome everybody in the house and never become a door blocker. Ain't nobody folding their arms standing at the door. You're not going to intimidate anybody. Ain't nobody not speaking to nobody when you're coming at the door. I want the doors to be wide open. Can somebody make some noise? The Bible says he was born of four. You got four people taking the man to Jesus. Verse 4, and when they could no longer come nigh unto him for the press, they shifted. And for those of you that allow people to block you from the door, shame on you. Because when they couldn't see a way, they were tenacious and resilient. They had a bounce back anointing. In other words, I can't get through you, you're blocking. But I'm not going to quit because I know my destiny is in the house. I'm not walking away because you got an attitude. I'm not going to let you drive me out. I'm going to continue to press forward. Can somebody say amen? For all of you that are so weak, when you get one frown, when somebody don't speak to you right, you're done and I'm out of here, then you don't want your anointing and you don't want your vest and you can't see your destiny. But I want to speak to that. If one blocks the door, you got to learn how to be innovative and get to Jesus. When he couldn't come no longer nigh to them, they uncovered the roof. They took him to the roof. They took the roof off the sucker. They took the roof off of it. They took the roof off the sucker. Let me tell you something. God is rearranging houses. You thought you could come to him and keep your house the same. But when he comes into your heart, he will rearrange your house. The roof may come off. Furniture will be rearranged. People will start packing it out because God will be gone. Oh, my God. They uncovered the roof. They uncovered the roof, not the whole roof, but the roof where he was. Look at the text, the roof where he was. So they took the roof off of the portion that if they did, they could look straight to him. See, some of you are blocking doors, and then some of you are just mad and you're tearing up stuff, but you're not trying to get to Jesus. You're not trying to focus on him. They only dismantle the portion of the roof that can let them see him. And you got to learn how to get rid of stuff that's blocking your sight of Jesus. You got to learn how to remove stuff, whether high or low, that's blocking you from seeing Jesus. Glory to God. Let revelation knowledge flow freely, unhindered and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic force. Less of me and more of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This church is about to change. Things are being removed in the spirit that's blocking your sight from seeing Jesus. Stop trying to tear it up and only remove the obstruction. Let me tell you again, I prophesy, there are people who feel like they need to tear it up, but you don't have to tear it all up. Only remove the obstruction. You need to be precise to only remove that which blocks your sight of Jesus. You don't have to tear up the whole house. You don't have to kill the whole family. You don't have to dismantle everybody. Only that portion that blocks you. From seeing Jesus. Because if you can open that up, the children will see him too. If I can heal this man, I can heal everything in him. I can heal everything connected to him. I can heal his community, his family tree. Can somebody say amen? God.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Make Some Noise in the House, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Thanksgiving is slightly over 2 weeks away, and Truth Reveal wants to make this memorable. If you are a single parent or facing difficult circumstances this holiday season, please contact Barbette Williams to be a recipient of this year's turkey giveaway. Email moe@truthreveal.org for details. Awaken Women, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th. And are available at the communication and promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future. Calling all men, mark your calendar for Legatus, the 2025 Men's Advanced Reloaded on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Take advantage of the combo package and order your t-shirt and polo. You do not want to miss this experience, so save the dates and schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.